Welcome back to Devil Radio. Matt Flynn direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to the lines in order. Lines are lighting up. First, we're going to go to Steve of Delafield. Steve of Delafield, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Yes, good morning, Luke. Good morning, Matt. Thank you for taking my call. Matt, I have a history question for you.
Yeah.
I'm going back to 1914 when Russia, France, and England declared war on Germany. And then Germany turns around, defeats Russia and France, and has England completely surrounded with submarines. They cut off all of the food, the energy, you know, the oil. They got them completely surrounded. And Germany sues England for peace. Then the German Jews go to England and tell England, do not surrender to Germany. If England promises to give Palestine to the Jewish people, the Jewish people will drag America into war against Germany. So then, you know, they started this the propaganda campaign in America, dragged America into the war. You know, millions and millions of people got murdered, killed. So it's now also World War One. And then in 1917, when it's all said and done, the England they signed the something called the Balfour Declaration, which says that Palestine will now belong to the Jews. That was something that I remember that it was called. The Germans called the Great Betrayal because of what the German Jews did to the people of Germany. Is that correct or not?
No, that's not correct. Steve, look, you're a good guy, but whoever was your history teacher, I think flunked out of grad school. Okay, let me tell you what the truth is. German Jews during the First World War fought like patriots for the German army. There were a lot of Jewish veterans. There were one of the guys, the biggest, the Red Baron, the guy, the German guy that shut down so many Allied planes, he was Jewish. And then during the Holocaust in the Second World War, Hitler butchered a lot of German veterans who happened to be Jewish. Here's what happened about the First World War. This is in a nutshell. I'm just going to give you the history. It was a war that never should have been fought. What happened was you had the Archduke Ferdinand shot by a Serbian nationalist in Sarajevo. You know, he's going down a little street. This is the Archduke Ferdinand. He's a cousin of the emperor, for God's sake. They stop in front of a bar to do a U-turn. It's a muddy little street with horses. Try doing a U-turn in a narrow street. He's just sitting there. A guy comes running out of a bar and pops him, okay? Now, what happens then is they were going to declare war on Serbia, and there were negotiations. Serbia gave in on everything to Germany, everything. And they had something like 15, 20 demands. But the one demand they didn't give in on was that if somebody committed an offense against a German or Austrian national in Serbia, they wouldn't ship them out to Germany for trial. They'd keep it in Serbia. Now, if I were in the German Foreign Service, I'd say fine. And then if something like that happened, I'd send in German forces, kidnap the guy and take him to Germany. But no, they invade. And so what happens? Domino effect. In those days, you know, France had a treaty with Serbia, and England had to back up this one and that one. And Europe hadn't had a big war in a long time, since the Franco-Prussian War, really, in the 1870s. So people kind of looking forward to it. I'm not kidding. Psychologically, when they faced each other in battle, a bugle would sound, and a German lieutenant and a British lieutenant would each kick a soccer ball towards the other one. And these people got butchered. They used mustard gas. It was disgusting. It was terrible. What happened when it was resolved, the Versailles Agreement is what killed Germany. The Allies, read a biography of the time of any of the leaders, John Maynard Keynes in particular, the economist who advised, he said, the British guy, he said, you shouldn't strangle Germany this way because they will rise up very quickly. But we strangle them. They had these reparations. They were wrong. It had nothing to do with Jewish people. Jewish people were patriots in Germany. The Balfour Declaration was issued by Lord Balfour of England and resettling Jews who wanted to go into Palestine. Absolutely. But there had been a history of anti-Semitism in Europe going back throughout modern memory, and not just in Germany or anywhere else. It was in Spain. It was in England. England expelled Jews in the 12th century. So that's what it is. The Jewish people were German patriots in the First World War, and it was a stupid war that was that should not have been waged, and it directly led to the Second World War. But Steve, I enjoy history questions, and I really appreciate you calling in. Bill Ashorewood, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Ranked choice voting, but first I'd like to point out the great book by John Maynard Keynes, to follow up your excellent analysis here, is entitled The Economic Consequences of the Peace. And if you pick that up, it's only about 100 pages long. It's an amazing analysis of the Treaty of Versailles. But anyway, the Republican cult is planning to dominate the primary season in 2024 to get either Trump or somebody like him nominated for their presidential candidate. And what ranked choice voting would do is it would prevent the cult from spreading the opposition over several opposing candidates, which is exactly what happened in 2016. The moderates, so-called, of the Republican Party were spread over several candidates, allowing Trump to win primaries with 25 or 30% of the vote and then gain notoriety and move on, when in fact, if you add up the total vote of the others, it far exceeded what Trump was able to get. And eventually they ran out of money and had to drop out, and he was left. Ranked choice voting straightens that out and allows voters to express their policy positions in a much more fine-tuned way in a algorithm that gets to majority voting. And what we have now is plurality voting, and these cult figures can ultimately win. So I want you to reconsider your position on ranked choice voting, because it's a very powerful opportunity to strengthen democracy, I think.
Yeah, Bill, thanks. And that you put it as well as it can be put. They have ranked choice voting in Maine right now, at least, and they may elsewhere. My concern about ranked choice voting, there are a handful of general elections where it would have had an effect. The 2000 election, there'd been ranked choice voting. And if there'd been in 2016 with Hillary Clinton with the Greens, it would have resulted in both Hillary Clinton and Al Gore being president. I agree with that. But in general, ranked choice voting, it's hard enough to get people to go out and vote. And they go in and they have to vote from, you know, there's 12 candidates on the ballot and they never heard of 11 of them. And then they have to rank them. And I'm not persuaded that it really ultimately makes a lot of difference, although it did, and it would have in those two races, in my view. Thanks for calling in. We're coming to the end of the show. It's been a great show. A lot of callers, a lot of interesting questions. And stand by for some great programming. You know, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Krupp, Earl Ingram, my man, Pizza Box Mike on Saturday at noon. A lot of good programming. I can't name them all. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back. Same time, same place tomorrow. Matt Flynn Direct for now, signing off for today.